Fox News 97.1 FM.
This is Countdown 2024.
Here are Charles Feldman and Margaret Carrero.
Well, a mere 40 days away from the presidential election as November the 5th fast approaches. Does talk of Prop 36 and Prop 47 leave you scratching your head? You're not alone. Simply put, a decade back, voters approved Prop 47, which reduced prison sentences for nonviolent offenders. But lots of folks now have buyer's remorse. Enter Prop 36, which would zoom us back in time and largely undo what Prop 47 did. Still confused? Can't blame you. Today on Countdown 2024, the debate. But before we get into that, let's take a quick lap around the political world for the latest.
New York City Mayor Eric Adams facing federal criminal charges for bribery, fraud, and accepting illegal campaign contributions. Prosecutors are alleging that Adams took at least $100,000 in bribes from the Turkish government. The mayor, meanwhile, remaining defiant, insisting on his innocence and vowing to fight the case rather than consider resigning. The probe into Adams taking illegal foreign campaign contributions, that's been ongoing since 2021. Meanwhile, there are several other corruption investigations underway into both Adams and other New York City officials. Adams had once been thought of as a future star in the Democratic Party.
Democrats in the House of Representatives want to formally censure Louisiana Congressman Clay Higgins. This after the Republican tweeted and then later deleted a racist post aimed at Haitian immigrants in Springfield, Ohio. In the post, Higgins referred to the Haitians in Springfield as thugs, said that they are eating pets, that's the old thing that we heard last week from former President Trump, and threatened them, saying that they should, quote, get out of the country before January 20th. The Congressional Black Caucus is expected to force a censure vote against Higgins when the House returns after the November election.
In an interview on Fox News promoting her new memoir, former First Lady Melania Trump said she blames, and this is a quote from her, leaders from the opposition party and the mainstream media for creating the environment that led to two assassination attempts against her husband, Donald Trump. Melania has been virtually non-existent on the campaign trail, but told Fox News that a second Trump presidency would be great for this country.
And now to Proposition 36. If approved by voters in November, it would increase prison sentences for several property crimes, including organized retail thefts. It would create a new treatment-focused court process for some drug possession crimes and could lead to some drug dealers being charged with murder under certain circumstances. Well, here with us now representing the yes on 36 argument is Mike Gatto, a former four-term California Assembly member. And representing the no on 36 side is Shorvin Azami, who is a policy manager at the nonprofit group Initiate Justice Action. Let me start, Shorvin, with you, because you represent the no on 36, but there's a poll that I'm sure you're probably familiar with that came out about a week ago, and this was done by the Public Policy Institute of California, and it showed that 71% of likely voters support Prop 36, and that was pretty much spread out across Republicans, independents, and Dems. 85% of Republicans support it, 73% of independents, and 63% of Dems. Why do you think so many Californians seem to want to pass 36, which, as we said, would largely undo the proposition from a decade ago?
Well, first of all, thank you so much for having me on this afternoon. It's really important that we're having this discussion because I believe that the perils and dangers of Prop 36 are real. And talking about the PPIC poll, look, we saw that in a few weeks prior, there was a separate poll from UC Berkeley finding the rate to be much closer to around 50%. I think what this is showing us is that California voters are confused, they are undecided, and what I hope is that today's show provides some clarity. Because the harms of Proposition 36 are going to be enormous. And I hope we're going to get right into the details.
Mike, why yes on Prop 36?
Well, Margaret, Charles, it's always great to be on KNX. Look, what the polls are reflecting is that Proposition 36 is a bipartisan measure that fixes three things that we longtime KNX listeners know to be problems. First, it restores the ability of judges to sentence people to rehab who need rehab. many, not all, but many homeless people need this help. And Prop 36 gives judges the tools to give people the help that they need. And you can call that tough love, but I think lots of people on the streets need that tough love. Second, it would give prosecutors the authority to charge the biggest fentanyl traffickers with more serious crimes. Too many people out there, including lots of children, are dying from fentanyl-laced products. Everything from pills to cannabis, and we've got to do something. And third, Prop 36 would address the problem of serious retail theft. This is where criminals strip a store bare. It's hurting too many small businesses. It's hurting those of us who don't want to shop behind glass cases. We think these are reasonable fixes, and I think the public does too.
If you're just joining us, we're having a in-studio debate on Prop 36, which is passed, but undue largely Prop... I'm losing track of the numbers myself now.
47.
47, thank you. If you add all the numbers up, I don't know what you come up with.
I can't do the math that fast.
And with us is on the yes side of the argument for 36 is, again, Mike Gatto. And on the no side of 36 is Shorvin Azami. Mike, let me ask you this, which is that, as you know, I think we all know, that one of the reasons, one of the things that was driving 47 to begin with was that the prison system was just overflowing in the state of California. And we are still operating under basically a mandate to make sure that our prisons are not overflowing again. If this were to pass, if 36 were to pass, and it would lead presumably to more people convicted of perhaps less serious crimes, but nonetheless incarcerated, wouldn't that reverse the progress that has been made in the prison system?
No. So Prop 36 aims for balance. Despite my youthful good looks and vigor, I've been in politics for 32 years. And in my 32 years, I've seen the pendulum go backwards and forwards, right? We go through periods of lock them all up, and we go through periods of let them all go. I mean, Prop 36 strives for a healthy balance. It aims to put in prison the people who deserve to be in prison. You know, somebody who is trafficking pounds and pounds, kilos and kilos of fentanyl, and, you know, where literally people have died from so many accidental overdoses, I would submit that prison is the precise place where that person should be. And I will note this, the Legislative Analyst's Office, which is nonpartisan, they said this will slightly increase the prison population, but those increases will be offset with the other progress we have made to reduce this.
All right, but Shorvin, you're shaking your head.
I was just going to say.
Yeah. So let's get right into it. I appreciate that my counterpart, the assembly member, is bringing up his concern for treatment, his concern for mental health, his concern for homelessness and finding real solutions to these things. California voters need to know, if Prop 36 passes, it will gut funding for mental health. It will gut funding for substance use treatment. It will gut funding for crime survivors. It will gut funding for after-school programs and programs for at-risk youth. And it will gut reentry programs. Let me tell you exactly what I mean by all of that. The piece of Proposition 47 that my counterpart may not want to acknowledge, and folks in the Yes camp do not like to acknowledge, is that the proposition legally required that all of the cost savings our state generated by virtue of not sending someone with a substance use disorder to prison, by virtue of not sending someone to prison for stealing a loaf of bread, would be reinvested in the community in three different ways. I'm just following what those three ways are. It's generated close to $1 billion in savings over the past decade, and they've been reinvested in three different ways. That's Prop 47 money, mind you. 65% of the funds go through the Board of State and Community Corrections, that provides grants to cities, counties, and community-based organizations primarily for behavioral health treatment. Here in LA County, some of those recipients include the Tarzana Treatment Center in the San Fernando Valley that's received millions of dollars to provide care to folks. It also includes the Amity Foundation and Homeboy Industries, right, two of the most successful... I'd like to really get through all three if I can.
Yeah, 25%, quickly, because we'll run out of
25%
time.
25% goes to the Department of Education in grants to community organizations and schools to provide after-school programs, and 10% goes to crime survivors, including Rady's Children's Hospital that provides care to folks who are surviving domestic abuse, Here in LA County, it includes the Safe Harbor program through UCLA. These millions of dollars would go away if Prop 36 passes. And on top of that, what it would do is it would bring back felony charges for simple drug possession for personal use. My counterpart talked about traffickers. This would send someone to prison who has a substance use disorder, who has drugs on their person for personal use. It would expand this three strikes law to say that if you shared,
let's give Mike a chance to count. And again, very quickly, this is a debate about the Proposition 36. Mike Gatto is here on the yes side for 36, and Shorvin Azami, who you just heard from, is on the no side. Mike, go ahead.
Well, first of all, it's funny because a lot of times we hear that the yes people are the ones engaging in fear-mongering, but then we're told that Prop 36 is going to put people in jail for stealing a slice of
That's
bread.
That's what the language says.
That is not true. Prop 36 has been endorsed by every taxpayer watchdog who has considered it, from Howard Jarvis to the LA County Taxpayers Association.
Howard Jarvis is a Republican organization.
Well, it's been endorsed by a lot of Democrats as well, including myself. But the reason why so many people are supporting it is because savvy people understand that the costs to the taxpayer and to society are much higher now than they'd be under Prop 36. The taxpayer pays to send a paramedic to the latest overdose victim. The consumer pays extra for common goods when stores are dealing with rampant retail theft. People have higher insurance premiums because of all the crime that's going on. And when a fentanyl poisoning occurs, how do you assess a value on a kid's life? These are things that, you know, you can't really quantify. But again, the LAO, the Nonpartisan Legislative Analyst Office, has said that the accusation that Prop 36 is going to raise reduce costs or spending on these groups is utter hogwash.
Let's hold that. We got to take a break. We'll be right back.
It's Countdown 2024
on KNX News 97.1 FM. This is Countdown 2024
on KNX News 97.1 FM.
Thanks for sticking with us on Countdown 2024. Along with Charles Feldman, I'm Margaret Carrero. Now, when California voters approved Proposition 47 back in 2014, the state's prisons were badly overcrowded and the conditions in many institutions were considered nearly inhumane. In the decades since, prison and jail populations in California dropped 30%. In that sense, Prop 47 was a success, but the complicated effects of that clearing out of prisoners is what brought us to Prop 36.
Which we continue to debate on today's show. Arguing in favor of Prop 36 is Mike Gatto, a former four-term California Assembly member. Arguing against 36 is Shorvin Azami, who is a policy manager at the nonprofit group Initiate Justice Action. When it comes to propositions, I think voters often are not only confused, but they become suspicious because they wonder, who's backing the different propositions? Where does the money come from? So I'm going to ask both of you gentlemen to very briefly say where your money comes from for your campaigns. Mike, you first.
So the people backing Proposition 36 include an outpouring of support for these sensible fixes from everybody from mom and pop businesses. We literally have 12 pages, single space, two columns of mom and pop businesses who have signed on to this. We have parents of children who died from fentanyl poisoning, frontline DAs. We have victims groups who have seen the harm that these criminals do. We have some funding from retailers, but most of our funding comes from individuals across the state. I will note that Shorvin's organization, I checked out his website on the way over here, and it calls for abolition. And I was wondering, you know, if they're talking about abolitioning of human trafficking or perhaps slavery in the world. But no, it's abolition of police.
And that's not on our website, Mike.
All right. So Mike, stop there. So first, tackle the question that I posed to Mike.
Yeah, I think the assembly member does not want to address the fact that the majority of their funding is coming from Walmart, is coming from Home Depot, is coming from Target, is coming from organizations that give millions to Republicans. The same organizations who in 2021 and 2022, while they were going on the air talking about retail theft, were posting their highest net, not gross, net earnings in history. Organizations like Target that made 59% more in 2021 than they ever made. Organizations like Walmart that made $13.6 billion in 2022. You know what's funny is the chief financial officer for Walgreens last year, and I quote, said, maybe we cry too much about shoplifting. That's directly from the horse's mouth. So what I want to get into again is we're talking about crime increases during a time when California was reeling from a pandemic, where millions of people lost their jobs, lost their family members, lost their health care, and we were facing some of the worst inflation in 40 years because companies were able to raise prices simply because they had market share.
Okay.
And so, and the thing is, to blame a 10-year-old law, if it was responsible for crime increases, wouldn't we have seen that in 2015 or in 2016 or 2017? We're talking about crime in 2021 and 2022, again during a pandemic.
Right. And there's nothing to compare what we saw during the pandemic to.
Right.
But let me just take you to the perception issue
Sure.
here,
no,
right? Because,
feelings do not care about facts. I understand that completely.
People see mass robbers
that.
In
Absolutely.
Broad daylight smashing
and
into
those,
stores. We've had these
those
horrible home burglaries,
seen,
too, and
those,
the follow home robberies. You have to understand that, right?
If we all talk over each other, no one's going to hear us.
Prop 36 has nothing to do with home invasions. I want to make that perfectly clear. It also has nothing to do with smash and grabs. Why? Because those viral images we saw of people inside of Nordstrom's or Walmart or Target, those are already felonies. If you so much as touch someone in the commission of a felony, that's aggravated assault. There are so many enhancements. There have been over 1,500 convictions and prosecutions just in the last couple of years for organized retail theft. The language in Prop 36 is clear. It's about shoplifting. It's about petty theft. And it's about drug possession for personal use. The language is clear that if you share, if you administer, not the word sell, the word sell is also in there, but it also includes share or administer, you could be charged with great bodily injury. Meaning you could have two teenagers, two siblings, two loved ones sharing drugs, one of them dies of an overdose, the other can be hit with a three strikes enhancement. How is that public safety? How is taking money away from mental health public safety? How is taking money away from treatment public safety? I acknowledge we need real solutions. I'm a father of two little kids. Yeah. I absolutely care about safety in our community, which is why I'm so diametrically opposed to Proposition 36.
Okay, and we are having, by the way, if you're just tuning in, we're having a debate clearly on the merits of Proposition 36, and the debate is being held between Mike Gatto, a former four-term California Assembly member who's in favor of 36, and Shervin Azami, who is a policy manager at the Initiate Justice Action Group and is arguing against 36. Mike, can you respond to some of the things that Shervin just said?
Thank you so much for asking, Charles. So the term that comes to mind when I listen to what Shervin just said is gaslighting. there is, you know, people can read the initiative for themselves. They can see what's
yes,
in it
can.
And what's not.
Please do.
But the other thing that's really clear, and I want to address something that Margaret asked too, and I want to address it directly. When a crime occurs, there is a chain that has to happen for a statistic to be generated. First of all, there has to be a 911 call. Then the dispatcher has to dispatch a squad car. Then the police have to actually show up and take a report. Then they have to decide to open a case. Then they have to decide to make an arrest. Then they have to decide to charge that person. Then there is either a plea or a conviction. And at that last step, we get a crime statistic. So when people say, oh my God, crime has only gone up a little bit, or we didn't see crime go up in 2014, they are lying to what people can see with their own eyes. People are not calling 911. The police are not showing up. The police are not charging people. They're not driving them downtown because it's a waste of time because of Prop 47.
Okay, so I want to
So we don't have accurate stats.
All right, we got to take another break.
We have to take another break, but we'll get right back to it. We will finish off today's debate on Prop 36 with those closing thoughts next on Countdown 2024.
This is Countdown 2024.
On KNX News 97.1 FM.
You're listening to Countdown 2024 on KNX, along with Margaret Carrero. I'm Charles Feldman.
Finishing up our debate on Proposition 36, arguing in favor is Mike Gatto. Arguing against it is Shervin Azami.
So very quickly, because we're going to run out of time, I want each of you to very concisely say what your position is on the propositions. So Mike, you first, and then Shervin. Mike, go ahead.
Prop 36 would give our system common sense new powers to deal with things that really contribute to the lack of quality of life and the things that are plaguing our society right now. It would help judges have the ability to sentence people to rehab who need rehab. It would enable the system and DAs and prosecutors to put away the worst of the worst fentanyl traffickers, and it would help deal with the issue of organized retail theft. No one likes shopping behind glass bars. I'll also say something about this. It is inhumane to ignore the people who need help. That is what we've done for so long. We have just taken people out of prison and thrown them on our streets. Prop 36 is the fix that we need to get people the help that they need.
Okay.
It is inhumane to ignore
them. Stop there. Sure, fan.
I'd like to, again, remind folks that if we care about having funding for mental health, if we care about having funding for treatment, if we care about having funding for crime survivors, we need to be a loud no on Proposition 36. This is something that will put folks with substance use disorders who need treatment behind bars while gutting funding for treatment. It is an unfunded mandate. We cannot have a treatment-mandated felony if money's being taken out of treatment. People will be languishing in jail and prison, waiting for the opportunity to actually get the care and services they need. We need real solutions. We need money in the pockets of our community organizations who are doing the work every single day to keep our community safe, sending folks to prison where it costs over $132,000 per person in prison per year, double the cost of tuition at USC. That's not public safety. It's not fiscally responsible. We must be no on 36.
Gentlemen, thank you both. On tomorrow's edition of Countdown 2024, he could have been a candidate for Vice President of the United States. Instead, Josh Shapiro has a job that's nearly as important, delivering Pennsylvania to Kamala Harris. Josh Shapiro, the governor of Pennsylvania, joins us on Friday's Countdown 2024. Remember, we are here every afternoon at 2:30 through Election Day. And if you miss a show, catch up with a replay at 8 and on demand on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts. Just search Countdown 2024 and follow the show.